Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to have you on this Labor Day weekend. My goodness, what happened to summer? But here we are. We're in September, getting ready to move into fall and all that goes with it. And there's a lot that's going to be happening now that we've moved into fall with some of our guilds. Our Ladies Guild starts again this coming Wednesday. And a number of things that have, including a couple things that have now already started. I owe some thanks this morning. Pastor Arndt, who has taken this morning's and will be doing a Bible study through the month of September. It's off to a great start. They had it in the conference room this morning. We're going to have to see if it stays in the conference room or moves out here, but he will be doing the study through the month of September. And then Pastor Steinke is going to take over for the Bible study in the month of October. So it's a very special time when we've got a couple of our retired pastors that are helping us out with that. I also have Pastor Steinke to thank for filling in, and unfortunately on very short notice, where I had to go up to Ohio last weekend. So it's good to be back. It really is. And so as a part of God's people, we want to remind everybody that while we have now started in September, Our coffee fellowships will begin again next week. Now, because of the way we've got this scheduled with our only one service, we will be having the fellowship on both sides of worship, both before and after worship. And so, pick your time next week, but those second Sunday of the month fellowships begin next week. We've got a couple of people that are going to be celebrating some special birthdays, specifically birthday number 100. Helena Trinkner, her birthday is next Saturday, and then at the end of the month is Marianne Zeltner. And back in our fellowship area, which we used to call Narthex number 2, we've got the addresses where if you want to send cards or something like that, you certainly are welcome to do that. So, and actually you are encouraged to do that, because what a special moment that is to have birthday number 100. On behalf of God's people here, and a couple of them in the same month. Our rummage sale is coming up. Just remember that we own with the large shed up on the hill. We try to have somebody there. It's happening this morning, but certainly in the Sundays to come, we'll have somebody both before and after our Sunday worship up there to take our items, because now that we're into September, all of a sudden that rummage sale is going to be coming at us very, very quickly. So, with some of the other things, just a reminder then also that next week is when our Faith Factor, our worship and praise group, they return, but they're only going to be doing two Saturdays a month now. During the months of September and October, they're going to be doing on their Saturday worship on the second and fourth Sundays. So that starts next weekend. Excuse me, the second and fourth Saturdays starting next weekend. They're also going to be doing the third Sunday. So in 2 weeks, they are going to be assisting us in worship right here as a part of our Sunday worship. And so we'll do that the third Sunday in September and October. And then once we go to two services, we'll just see what the schedule is going to do. But, it's hard to believe it's been over 2 months since they led worship at our Florida Georgia Regional District Convention back in late June in Orlando, but I guess time flies when those things are happening. So as you leave this morning, please remember a couple of things. We have the September calendar ready to go. We got a couple of requests because we had that last calendar had July on one side and August on the other, and we got some requests to try to do that. It's much more difficult once we get into months like September and through the school year to try to get a calendar out for a second month. Even if we did October, it would be far less useful and have... Oh, well, okay, okay. Yeah, I do know that we had an Amber Alert this morning, so they're just with some of the things there. So remember that, to help yourself to one of those as we go. Then, our script program, this is one of the Sundays that we're going to be taking orders. Now, all of the people that have volunteered for the program, they're out this weekend. And so the person that's going to be taking orders is going to be me. I'll try to see if Kathy can help me a little bit on that, just to be taking the orders. But if you have any questions or something like that, I'll get to you just as quickly as we can. But same thing, order this week, pick up next week. And the first and third Sundays are going to remain our order Sundays for that. And we don't, there's a lot more people that can be getting involved in our script program here as we go. So as we prepare then and for God's people for worship then, please let us know that you were here, the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you this morning. So we continue here in the month of September by beginning our worship then with a hymn sing. And our first hymn in our Lutheran service books or up on the screen, hymn number 895, a hymn we often associate perhaps with Thanksgiving, but is appropriate at all times. Our order of services from Divine Service Setting 4 on page 203. You may also follow along on the screen. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, the source of all that is just and good, nourish in us every virtue and bring to completion every good intent that we may grow in grace and bring forth the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Redeemed, restored, ready to serve our Lord. Let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord.
The lesson this morning is in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Make his statutes known from generation to generation. Moses speaks.
And
I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add a word that I command you, nor take it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson is in Ephesians chapter 6. Take up the whole armor of God to stand firm. Saint Paul writes, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual foes of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all the perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please do.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is the gospel of our Lord."
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. You may be seated. What a fantastic setting that is on our screens in front of us. And I got to ask each of you this question that's before you. How many of you cannot put a good book down? I knew some hands were going to come up. And look, I'm going to assume something. For all of you that raised your hands, is there even one of you that prefers to read your books like on a Kindle reader or on your phone or something else like that? Any of you? Well, actually, there is one or two. A few more than I thought there would be. Most of you are still the type that would just prefer to keep that thing with you. Whether it's a hard copy, paperback, you know, we may be going to an all-electronic world, but those of you that are true book devotees, you cannot put a good book down. You always are going to want to be able to have access to something like that. But you know, there is an inevitability to almost everything going electronic. You know, as you understand, books today and through all of the years that we've been alive, books have been written. And there's got to be a place to put all those books, and even the biggest of libraries only have so much space. And partially because, you know, some of these books, that they don't retain their condition very well. They have been forced to generate electronic copies. For a while, it was on what used to be called microfiche. And now they've gone to just all kinds of other things where it is, if you want access to it, you're going to be able to find just about anything electronically. Now, I bring that not to talk about a good book, but the good book, because I have to admit I'm a little bit concerned. Does it bother me that the Bible also is going electronic? That even I myself now, more and more, will not take one of those great big cumbersome Bibles with me, but we'll just pull it up. I keep even a copy of the Bible on my own phone and use it, because then it kind of helps keep my hands free. It's one less thing I've got to make sure it's nice and clean when you go into somebody's room. But I'm not worried about whether what form it comes in or how it is read. What I'm worried about is the fact that no matter what format is being used, with more access to the Bible today than ever before, at least in most of the circles where we live, fewer and fewer people are reading it. And that's a problem, because we understand what the Bible is, and as the Word of God, the Bible is something that has to be able to do what it does best, because it is God's Word, and it is God's Word that comes to us with great power. And that's why these words of Moses that were read a little bit earlier make so much sense. Keep them, do them. That will be your wisdom and your understanding inside of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Friends, we begin to understand that the only way that we have been able to receive God's Word, yes, it has come to us with great power, but it has also come to us from generations that were before us, some of whom have been teaching us since we were children. And yes, I know that I suppose our parents were part of that, but they were just one piece of the puzzle. And you know, it's interesting. When I was growing up, I know that today, a lot of the people that we see involved in Sunday school, some of them are people that have got children and even grandchildren into Sunday school. Now, they don't necessarily directly teach their own children. They might teach one of the different classes, but they are involved. As I was growing up, I remember to this day the names of almost every single one of my Sunday school teachers and all the people that helped me to learn about God's Word. What was really interesting about all of those people, and I'll admit to you, a good number of them were women. Very few of them, for whatever reason, very few of them had ever had children of their own. Which meant that, okay, they weren't doing this because they wanted to make sure that in their own family, the Word was going to be preserved, enlarged, and remembered from one generation to the next. But they simply had an understanding that whether they had children of their own or not, they were a critical piece of making sure that the knowledge that went into the young people of that church was going to come from God's Word. And it is important to remember that in the midst of the tons of things that our children are learning, that God's Word has got to be a part of it, because God's Word gives a flavor we don't get anywhere else. There's a story of a woman from years and years ago who grew up hating mangoes. And when she was a little girl, she grew up on a dairy farm. And that dairy farm, understanding that it was far better to, you know, produce their own milk, had what they called a house cow, one that they kind of set off to the side from the others that were producing milk that was placed out onto the open market. This cow provided the house with all of the milk that they needed so that they wouldn't be going to the store to buy some, which would hardly make any sense. The problem, though, was that on the property right next door, there was a mango tree that where some of the branches overhung onto their property. And as trees are like that or known to do, was dropping mangoes on that side of the property. And the cow loved the mangoes. And so, guess what? All of that cow's milk always tasted like mangoes. The young lady was a teenager before she learned completely by accident that not all milk tastes like mangoes. You know, nobody knows better than that cow that what you eat flavors what you produce. More than that, when there is something missing, like God's word, look at what's left. We have become a world that has become seemingly almost at war with each other. It's like we have a world that is looking for reasons to hate one another, for reasons to stop talking to one another, for reasons to put up walls between each other. And why? Very often for people, it is because what it is that really flavors our lives and shows us what the power and love and mercy and wisdom of God is all about that we learn through His Word is missing. And how sad that is, that now we have children that are growing up in a world that even if they are learning the Word of God the way that they are supposed to, the places they may go, the friends they may have, the worlds that they are going to be a part of, they may be the only ones that know God's Word. Of course, what makes it even worse is at some point children become adults. And what happens to adults that don't have God's Word? We just got word a few weeks ago that indeed there is going to be a new speaker of the radio program, The Lutheran Hour. Some of you may not even realize that The Lutheran Hour is still being broadcast. We actually have a couple of stations not too far away. It's placed at some very unusual times, and does not have the influence here in the United States it once had. But around the world, it remains a very influential program. A very important one. This is a radio program that dates back to 1930. And the very first Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Walter A. Meyer, on his very first Lutheran Hour message broadcast over the radio, had this to say. We can understand how throughout the ages, blind, groping humanity, held in sway by fear and doubt, has yearned with a deep and sighing longing for something fast and firm, something positive and definite, for something unchangeable and unending. We can understand, too, why today, in spite of all our modern advances, people are mobilizing the resources of human ingenuity, restlessly dedicating the best of their efforts to find certainty in the midst of this consuming uncertainty, to discover light in this enshrouding gloom of darkness, to secure trust amid surroundings of this disappointing speculation. Dissatisfied, disillusioned, distracted people are crying out with the question, to whom shall we go? And our answer to that question of supreme importance can only be to Jesus Christ and to His Word. That statement was made almost 88 years ago. And it has just as much truth in it today. It is just as contemporary to be able, in terms of what it both says and where humanity finds itself today, as it ever has. A lot of things about lives may change, and we were just talking about a few of them at the beginning from Kindle readers and whatever else. But Christ and His Word does not change, including the need that each one of us have to both have it for ourselves and to prepare ourselves so we can equip future generations with that same Word. What a powerful Word it is. We look at what St. Paul was going through in our epistle lesson today. St. Paul found himself in a jail cell. All he had to look at was whatever was in his cell and a guard. A guard that was always watching over him, but a guard that was always dressed properly. Had his full armor on as part of his uniform. Now, the curious thing is, if St. Paul had been the representative of a powerful world ruler, he might have been on his way to a world conference carrying in his briefcase the perfect plan to guarantee peace once and for all. If he had been a scientist, he might have had in his suitcase the news of a great discovery that would revolutionize the knowledge people have of themselves and the world that they live in. If he had been a man associated with medicine, a physician or whatever, he might have carried with him a paper regarding a vaccine to protect against every illness and against the advancing weakness that makes people feeble, especially in their old age. But Paul, at least at this moment, was neither diplomat nor scientist nor medical doctor. He did not carry with him a briefcase. He was in prison. And yet, even from prison, he represented a ruler before whom all beings in heaven and on earth will eventually have to fall on their knees too. For every other ruler, death comes at last. Paul was the messenger of a ruler who defeated death and rose from the dead. Paul was the ambassador of a ruler who had power, that which is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He had nothing much to show for himself, but he had a Lord, a commission, and a message, and that message put on the whole armor of God. When Paul from prison was talking about people putting on the whole armor of God, he was talking about being saved. Being saved by the power of God through the good news of Jesus Christ. He was talking about one of the few things he could still find from where he was. And he was talking about escaping. Not from prison, but from something far worse. The great thing a person finds in the scriptures, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the smiling face of a gracious God who should have passed judgment on every one of us, instead placed the judgment on him. Yes, Scripture reminds us that sin does pay its wage, and that wage is death. But it also reminds us that God's free gift is eternal life in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, that is the greatest gift, the gift that is worth passing from generation to generation. Friends, I don't know how much time that we spend in God's Word, but each and every moment that we do, it's time that is well spent. Whether we are finally getting ourselves acquainted with portions of Scripture we did not know well before, whether we are finally stumbling across some of those Bible passages that we've heard before, we kind of sort of know them, but now all of a sudden they're really starting to make sense, whether we're reading the Bible for the 10,000th time, it is always something in which we grow, in which the tree continues to bear more and better fruit all the time. The fruit of God's precious word. Friends, I close with a story about a conversation between two pastors. Both of these pastors had been spending their time in the pulpit hammering away at the sins of the people, but somehow not recognizing their own sinful pride and somehow never quite getting around to that part about Jesus Christ and forgiveness and the love of God and how he shares his grace and his love and his mercy with each of us. At some point, though, one of them did come to that realization. And so he told the other that, okay, every man has the corruption of sin within him, but Christ has taken all that away. And the other pastor became somewhat outraged. What will become of our cherished work of revival? How will we even be able to make a living for us? What will become of ourselves? Don't you realize how dreadfully dangerous this message is for our survival? To which the first pastor replied, yes, I suppose the message of the gospel is dreadfully dangerous. But the message of without the gospel is far more and far more dreadfully dangerous. With the gospel, I am so full of joy that I would like to take the whole world in my arms. That's the great secret of redemption, that God has drawn and placed a cross over all the sinfulness of the world, both without us and also within us. Dear friends, that's the wonderful good news that we share from generation to generation. That message is the word of the cross that we have to keep reading, growing in, and then as we learn, we teach, we proclaim, we share with the next generations. Trust me, my friends, God's word for your salvation is a word that you will like the taste of, and the taste of for all generations. Lord Jesus Christ, you have given us that word in the power of the Holy Spirit, that word that makes us wise unto salvation through you, who has defeated death for each of us. Be in our midst. Enliven our hearts that we may bring to you our prayer and our praise and continue to read that which you have given us that tells us about you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now at this time, we will confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is always on the inside back cover of the hymnal, or you may follow along on the screen. Please stand as we confess our faith together.
I believe in one God,
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. A prayer of blessing has been requested on behalf of the great-grandson of Jackie and Abel Christopher, born this past Friday in Michigan. His name is Jameson Hockey, again born this past Friday. So please note the special prayer response that is on the screen as we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you have given us your word, which is to make us wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. You raised him from the dead, and because his death fulfilled your eternal covenant to save us from our sin, we now receive from you your marvelous love and goodness. We pray that you would give us everything we need, that we may know your will and do it, and live to your honor and praise as we continually grow in that word that makes us wise unto salvation. O Lord, turn to me and be gracious to me. As your word comes into us with great power, come into our lives with that same power of the Holy Spirit, renewing in us a true and living faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be united with him, that we may always be anxious to read and study and grow in your word, and then to share it with others. Since you alone are the source of all good things, we ask you to fill us with that love for you, which then expresses itself as we live according to your word in humble and loving service to our neighbor. Help us always to do justice, to love mercy, and to live humbly before you, our God, and before the people you have placed into our lives. O Lord, turn to me and be gracious to me. O Lord, make your church so aware of your countless blessings, especially the gift of the gospel, that it may continually respond with thanks and praise. Inspire your people to proclaim Christ's saving love to all. Make our words sincere and edifying, our lives pure and godly, our relationships with others peaceful and harmonious. Bless also our country and its people, that mercy, truth, uprightness, and peace may be evident everywhere. That all of your people, those that lead and those who serve, may be instruments of you who came not to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. O Lord, turn to me and be gracious to me. Look with pity on those who are facing troubles and trials, especially those Christians who are suffering for the sake of their faith. Strengthen all the needy by your mighty power. We pray for all who are indeed facing sickness, suffering, hardship, loneliness, trouble, danger, or any malady of body, soul, heart, and mind. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives, that we lift up before you now in the privacy of our own hearts in a moment of silence. Fill their lives with your grace and hold before them the perfect peace of Christ. As we also lift up before you those that are receiving extra measures of your blessing. We pray on behalf of the birth and the family of Jameson Hockey. Also on behalf of Helena Trankner, who will be celebrating 100th birthday this coming week. And for all who are having celebrations, dear Lord, in the midst of a life that is so short, remind us that so many good things come from your hand and come bountifully and come with your goodness, that even in the midst of the sorrows and trials of this life, we can look to you and see how you are providing us even a glimpse of that which is going to be for the world to come. May we always live in the blessings that you have given to us, receiving them with thanks. O Lord, turn to me and be gracious to me. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven, our God, King of all creation, for you have shown your mercy to us, given your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name the prayer he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Friends, our service concludes on the top of page 8 in our service folders, or again on the screen. Please stand as we close by praying together. O God, our strength is not found in our knowledge, but in Christ alone. Give us good courage that we would stand firm even in the midst of the trials of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves by the strength you give. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.